I don't know how you've come tonight, and I don't mean that as in whether you've walked here or come in a car, but just what kind of frame of mind you've come in. It's confession time for me. I've come in a really good frame of mind, but I am hopelessly unprepared, in the sense that I thought I'd got here in loads of time, and then sat down and tried to do things, and my printer didn't work, so I couldn't print off my notes. And then I realised there was some tech stuff that I wanted to do, and it didn't take me the length of time that I wanted it to. And if you get to know me, usually I'm fairly, I like to think I'm fairly sort of calm and laid back. But when I get stressed, fingers and thumbs and eyes and brain don't seem to connect. So the busier it is, the less productive. Anyway, I'm just telling you that my heart has gone as I'm standing here tonight. And that's not for your sympathies. I'm just being honest with you. But as we come, I don't know how you've come. Maybe there's stuff gone on in your life. Very different from that. But let's just be still as we come into the presence of God. Let's come to meet with him. Whatever your situation, I've shared you a little bit of mine and why I feel particularly unprepared this evening. What's your heart like? Is it prepared to meet with God? Let's just sit still for a moment, and I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I don't know whether when you were here on earth things caught you unawares, or whether you ever got worked up about things and stressed out about things. There were things that you wondered whether you could cope with. But then we do know that there were times when you were hugely stressed. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, you sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and an angel came to support you. You felt the enormity of that. We thank you that you know what it is to be human. You know what it is to be grieving. You know what it is to be facing a week of pressure and stress and demands. And so we thank you that however we've come this evening, whatever our hearts and minds are like, you do understand. And so in these moments this evening, would you by your Holy Spirit please come and minister to us, speak to us. Father, I need to ask that you will take my maybe stumbling thoughts and words tonight and give them a Holy Spirit unction that goes far beyond human ability. We want to ask you that you will bless our songs and our singing and our reflections and our prayers. That when we leave this place in our own, whatever it is, will be time, we'll look back and reflect and say, God was in the place. Would you do that, please? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, maybe, one song to start with, and I want to play you a song which has just been a massive blessing to me and is why I'm not prepared, really, tonight. But the song we're going to play first of all is the Hillsong's version, or the Hillsong's song, King of Kings. It starts off, "In the darkness we were waiting," and it goes through some wonderful Christian doctrines. So I'm going to ask you to stand for this, and if you're able to sing with it, then please do. If not, let's just look at the words. Let's just rejoice in the truths that are here, and we'll enjoy it. So just turn the volume up, Callum, so it drowns out if there's only one or two of us singing, and let's worship the Lord in this wonderful song, whether we sing or whether we listen, but let's worship. Prophet. familiar that song was. We have played it before, though I don't think we've actually sung it together as a group. The second song, this song, I know that we haven't sang because somebody posted it in a, I think it was a private Facebook post to me during the week, and I just thought, what a song. I hadn't heard it before. It's called the Hymn of Heaven by Phil Wickham. Don't know if anybody's heard that. Wonderful song. I hope it's going to bless you to bits as we sit and watch and listen and worship the Lord to you. We will sing this again in the future, I promise you.
Now I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me, walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again.
love it. So many lines in there that when you watch it again, when you listen again, that capture it. The prayers of faith prayed through the desperation. Have you ever done that? You pray a prayer of faith, although all looks dark and you don't know where it's going. Will all be worthwhile. Will all be worthwhile on that day when we see him face to face. Glory. Right, let's come to look at God's word. We're going to be tonight in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. We were planning for Fiona's baptism tonight until COVID hit. And although she's well enough, and we're so glad that she is, I think I saw her here tonight, didn't I? Yes, there she is. Actually, Gary's not well, and she really wants Gary to be here. So we understand that, don't we? But I've had a particular word in my heart for Fiona's baptism day. So I'd kind of been getting myself all psyched up and prepped up for that. But then when COVID hit, we had to think, well, we're not going to do that sermon because that's going to wait for the baptism day. So it's like, well, Lord, what do you want me to preach on tonight? Because we're thrown into something like this. What do you want me to preach on? A week or so ago, I was messaging my lad, James, and he said, how's your day going? I said, I've been doing this and I've been doing that and said something I've been preparing to share. And he said, I've just been reading Proverbs 8. He said, if you ever get stuck for a sermon, he said, it's an absolute banger. His words, not mine. And you know, so when I was thinking of tonight, I thought, what should I preach on? What do you want, Lord? And the words of Jamie came back to me. So Jamie, if you're listening, mate, thank you. You're to blame for this one. But my mind went to these words and I looked at it and I started to pray and look at some other stuff and it is a banger. I hope that I can, by God's help, we do a little bit of justice to it tonight. Callum, I'm just sort of changing things around. Can we pop that first PowerPoint up? It comes up with a picture. I haven't got my clicker, so you're going to have to keep alert to it. Got a little PowerPoint, a little picture on here, which I hope... So we're going to think about the lady, invitation of Lady Wisdom. Right, that picture. Mrs. Merton, yeah, she was a spoof interview. The guy in the middle, Chris Akabusi. Person on the left, it's Debbie McGee. Does anybody remember that infamous... interview that Mrs. Merton did with Debbie McGee? I was going to play it to you tonight, but I watched it and thought, no, I can't play that. It's got a bit of innuendo in it. But she started the interview off, and she said, so what first attracted... I should tell you that Debbie McGee was the wife of Paul Daniels, the magician. She started it off, she said, so what first attracted you to the millionaire Paul Daniels? Cracker. I'm gonna throw it to you. I don't want you to answer this, by the way. But what attracted you to your husband or wife? Those of you who are married, what was it that attracted you to your husband and wife? What was it that attracted? What was it about him or her that? Don't go all soppy, Paul. What was it that attracted you? Do you know what? It's good to go back over that sometimes, isn't it? Think, what was it right at the beginning? Because sometimes we can lose it, and that's not good. Right, that takes us to Proverbs 7 and 8. See, in Proverbs chapter 7 and chapter 8 are two of a kind. We're not going to read chapter 7, but in chapter 7, if you look at the headline, it says, the warning against the adulterous woman. Chapter 7 really sets before us this woman that would draw and attract people away to follow her. She is the woman who seeks to allure the gullible man into her grasp and into her trap. In contrast, we've got chapter 8, where we've got this lady who's often be called Lady Wisdom, who calls out and invites us to follow her. Chapter 7 is the way of the fool. Chapter 8 is the way of the wise. Wisdom is personified. It's given the she noun. So it's imagining there is this lady here in chapter 8. And we're going to go through this chapter this evening. Is whether or not Solomon completely understood or was aware of the depths of which he wrote, I don't know. I would suggest to you probably not. But the words he puts into the mouth of Lady Wisdom, he paints a wonderful picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And you will see, and I'm going to go through tonight, and I'm going to say, look, instead of this lady, I'm going to say Jesus does this. This is when we follow Jesus, when we follow the way of wisdom, because that's the way of following Jesus. Following Jesus is the way of wisdom. It's the path of wisdom. Jesus is the pinnacle of wisdom. He is wisdom personified. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says that he is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And in Colossians chapter 2, he's described as the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And like the woman here that we'll read about, who calls out to us, Jesus came and called people to follow him. He invites all, the whosoever, to come and know life through him. And he commissions us to go out into the highways and the byways to the ends of the world and call people to follow him, to share this wonderful good news and the life to the full that's with him. And when we who are followers of Jesus find, as we all do, that we're being drawn this way, when we're being drawn by the temptress of life, whatever it is, these are two great chapters to read. Read chapter 7 to find the foolishness of going along with temptation. Read chapter 8 to find the wisdom and the benefits of following Jesus. We've got here then these two women. And I ask you, who, and we had that little picture of Debbie McGee and about being married. I want to think in terms, we're often described, the church is the bride of Christ. We're married in one sense, we're married to Jesus. And it's good to stick with him. And I'm going to break this chapter open into five passages, and we're going to take them one by one as we go through. Five reasons then why sticking with Jesus, being close to him, remaining faithful to him, is not just better, but it's actually the very best. So, chapter 8, verses 1 to 11 is our first section. This is what it says. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud, to you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all humanity. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire compares with her. We really ought to have sung that little song of Jesus. There was an old song, wasn't there, about nothing I desire compares with you. So here we've got Lady Wisdom tells us, this is the first thing, she tells us the truth about all things. Give us the next one. So the first thing is that wisdom, or Jesus, tells us the truth about all things. It particularly comes through from verse 7 to 9. My mouth speaks what is true. My lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them are crooked or perverse. She tells us what is true, what is trustworthy. Jesus' words are trustworthy words. They are just. They are morally right and fair. Jesus is always right. He's always true. He's always fair. All of the time and on whatever he speaks about. His words are right and true about the world. True and right and just and fair about society and culture and most of all about ourselves. And he says some searching things, doesn't he, when we read his word? And his words are always true and they're always right. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we want life to work well, then we need to stick close to Jesus. And by implication here, the words of wisdom or the words of Jesus are contrasted to the words of the temptress of chapter 7. Verse 7 in here says, my lips detest wickedness. That's the contrast to the woman of chapter 7. My lips, says wisdom, my lips, says Jesus, detest wickedness, detest that which is morally, ethically wrong. Characteristic of the temptress is to be, verse 8, crooked. All my words, the words of my mouth, are just. None of them are crooked or perverse. Crooked means distorted or twisted. They're not straightforward. Perverse, it means unsavory. Something that is a struggle. Whereas verse 9, the words of wisdom to the discerning, they are right. To those who are upright, they have found knowledge. They are, and the word right, that means straight. Jesus' way is a straightforward way. When Jesus says things, he says it as it is. And it's uncomfortable sometimes, isn't it? We read the Bible, we hear it preached. It's uncomfortable, but what Jesus says is straightforward and to the point. Whereas the temptress twists things, turns things, hides things, comes at things from a devious angle. What Jesus says may not be what we want to hear, but it's always right and true and is ultimately the best thing for us. Let's go into the next section, verses 12 to 16. If we can pop those on the screen. They're making them work hard at the back, so I have to move from one bit to the other on there. Here we go. So verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight, I have power. By me, kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern and nobles, all who rule on earth. You know, as I read those words there, it reminds me we need to pray for our nation and our leaders at the moment. They wouldn't be getting into the muddle they are if they were following the ways of Jesus, would they? Let us pray, as the word of God says, to pray for our rulers, those who rule over us. So the heading for this little section, I'm going to suggest to you, is that Jesus, wisdom, helps us live right, helps us to make good decisions. You see, wisdom, or Jesus, promises that she's got some friends. Her friends will be our friends. If we make friends with her, then these will be our friends as well. Make friends with Jesus and he brings us other friends. Verse 12 speaks of prudence and knowledge and discretion. Prudence is about making shrewd and sensible decisions. Knowledge is about discernment, a skill to understand things. And discretion is to be able to see bad things, to spot that which is bad, bad ideas, bad intents in others. Or just to put it another way, wisdom gives us the ability to make right decisions, to carefully consider a situation rather than making a snap decision on it. Prudence, knowledge, discretion, that's what comes through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He is the one that will help us to read people. We'll not make to live right, then we need these three things. And they come through Jesus and the Holy Spirit that he gives us. It's these that enable, he says in verses 15 and 16, kings to reign, rulers to issue decrees that are just, and princes to govern, and nobles to rule. The principle here is that these things help people to do what is right most often. And where do we find those things? We find them in Jesus, don't we? It makes sense to stick close to him at school, for those of you at school, with our neighbors, at work, in our finance, in our relationships. Jesus is so practical, he helps us with all of these things as we follow his ways. Next section, verses 17 to 21. And look out in this one, I'm going to head this one up. Jesus rewards his followers. Jesus rewards. There are rewards as we follow him. He says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me, making their treasuries full. If I hadn't told you that this points us forward to Jesus, you would have seen this by now, wouldn't you? You would be saying, this is Jesus here. He's tucked away in the Old Testament. In verse 17, Lady Wisdom says, I love those who love me, and those who search for me find me. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7? Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Ask, seek, knock, and it will be opened to you. Those are the words of Jesus. It's just like he's quoting these passages here in Psalms. Let's not forget, though, in seeking him, in asking him, it does bring blessings. I think sometimes we shy away from this. There are those, you've heard of the phrase of prosperity gospel. There are those who will say, you know, Jesus wants you to have everything and have it now, health and wealth, and, you know, there's something wrong if you haven't got it. And I think sometimes we can kind of put caveats on things that we don't need to put caveats on. What does the word says here? I love you. I love those who love me. Those who seek me find me. With me, so when we find him, our riches and honor. There's enduring wealth and prosperity. We're not talking prosperity gospel here, though. We're not saying that when we come to Jesus, we're simply saying that there are blessings in following Jesus. Let's not be ashamed of that. To follow Jesus is better than not to follow him. Life and death tend to work better with Jesus. Amen? You know, life, we haven't experienced death yet, most of us. But then I say that, and many of you have, not for yourself. Mind you, I won't say that. But you've had loved ones that have passed away. And some of you have had loved ones that don't love Jesus, and you know the pain of that. But if you've had loved ones that do love Jesus and they've passed away, you know how much better death is with Jesus, don't you? Life and death with Jesus work better. It makes sense to follow him. What does he offer? He talks about riches and honor and enduring wealth and prosperity. We're not talking here about physical stuff right here and now. He does not offer that. In fact, as we've said quite a number of times recently, if I remember rightly, we've said that to follow the way of Jesus is a hard way. It's a narrow way. There will be troubles. There will be difficulties. Let's be under no illusions if we're loyal to him. He's talking about enduring wealth. He's talking about enduring prosperity. What's he talking about? He's talking about heaven. He's talking about what comes afterwards. In him, we've got this glorious inheritance waiting for us. The essential word here is enduring. We're talking about the eternal. We're talking about kingdom blessings. Lay up treasures in heaven, says Jesus. That's why with Jesus, our perspective, our outlook on life changes. We know we're not all forever going to be in this world. And so we're going to be thinking, we're going to be laying up. Now, if God blesses us with things down here, well, we can thank him for that. And we can use those. Let's make sure we use them for him. Let's not take them for granted. Let's hold them lightly because wealth and things have a habit of flying, don't they? We don't need to be ashamed, but let's hold them loosely. We thank God for what we've got. But let's make sure that we're laying up treasures in heaven where moth doesn't eat and corrode, where rust doesn't rot away. That's the most important thing for us. And that's what comes through Jesus. We're looking for the new heaven and the new earth, aren't we? For the enduring heaven, the enduring earth that we'll be part of when he comes by virtue of our relationship with him and his resurrection on our behalf. We will, you will be, I will be part of that. It's just glorious. Glorious. So that's the third thing. Jesus rewards his followers. But then, next passage, verses 22 to 31. I'm going to suggest to you that Jesus brings peace to those who follow. Watch this. Watch out for this. Jesus bringing peace for those who follow him. Verse 22. The Lord brought me forth. And look for Jesus in this as well. Man, this is just so incredible. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his deeds of old, I was formed long ages ago. At the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water. Before the mountains were settled. Before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world and its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the heaven, the horizon of the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the world. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in all his world and delighting in the human race. The old theologians, the likes of John Calvin, that many of you will have heard of, when they used to debate these big theological issues, Calvin used this passage as one of the passages to prove the eternity of Jesus. Comparing here, contrasting here, bringing in, saying this was of Jesus. And I'm not going to go into that this evening. That's not where I want to go to. We haven't got time, and if we had, I'm probably not the time to do it. But essentially, what wisdom is saying is that because she was there at the very beginning, she knows how it was made, how it works, what's wrong with it. And what did we look at this morning? That though he was in nature very God, he made himself nothing. He existed before the world was. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus was there, and because Jesus was there, because knowledge was there, Jesus knows how it works. He knows how he can fix it. He knows what needs to be done. It's only through Jesus that we have harmony with God, with other people, and with ourselves as well. We need the owner's manual. I don't know if those of you of a certain age remember Haynes manuals. They were kind of, you just had to have a Haynes manual. You'd go and buy a car and you'd buy the Haynes manual. Because in those days, cars were easy enough and you could work on them. If you had a Haynes manual, you needed to know what it was. And if you tried to do it like I would sometimes try to do, think, well, I can do this bit. Haynes manual would show how to get into it, what to do, what to look for, how and what order to put it back in so that you didn't have any washers left over or even any screws at the end of it. Haynes manuals were there to tell you how it was made. Jesus is the Haynes manual of life because he was there. He knows how it works. He's able to bring order. He's able to bring peace into our lives again. He's the one who God, through whom God brought order out of the chaos of the pre-creation mass that was there. As the waters seethed and was in tumult, the Holy Spirit was there, but it was through the words of Jesus that the chaos was turned to order, and he's the same one that brings order into our lives. If you feel your life is getting out of order, when your relationships are out of order, then go back to Jesus. Follow his ways. They're always the best. Last section, little section, verses 32 to 36. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. It's a kind of summary statement, but I'm going to sum it up with this. Jesus gives abundant life. Jesus gives us abundant life. That kind of sums up all that we've been talking about. Wisdom gives life. Now then, my children. Isn't that lovely? Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed, happy is what that means. Happy are those who keep my ways. Do we want to know happiness? Do we want to know blessing? Do we want to know peace? Do we want to know abundance in our life? Then we need to follow Jesus, the way of wisdom. Listening to Lady Wisdom, listening to Jesus, following him is the sure path to blessing. The Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are this, blessed are that, blessed. Happiness comes through doing things his way. He helps us get the best out of life, even when our life doesn't seem to be the best. When illness and frustrations and disappointment come, and they do. But even in those times, as many of you here can testify, even in those times, Jesus gives a little extra inner something. Strength, resilience, hope, joy, a strange peace that passes understanding. That could be in the Bible, couldn't it? Peace that passes understanding. And a contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And we can be content in the worst situations because we know he's in control and we know where we're going. Whilst ignoring him, rejecting him is the path of death. Most, if not all of us here tonight are followers of Jesus. Let's make sure then that we live like that. Let's make sure that we live following him, that we treasure him, that we value him, that we go along his paths, that we don't listen to the temptress that would allure us away from him, that would gratify us for a period of time, our thoughts and our emotions and whatever it is, our wants and our desires, that take us away from Jesus, and we'll be the poorer for it. Sometimes we have to choose the narrow path, the path of Jesus, the harder path. But through that path comes the peace, the ultimate joy in life and in death. I thought that was a banging chapter. I don't know whether I've done justice to it tonight, but I hope you got some stuff to think about. I'm going to ask Paul to come and lead us in prayers before we have a final song. Thanks, Paul.
Okay, let's pray. Father, you have promised in your word that if anyone lacks wisdom, then all we need to do is come and ask, and you will give us that wisdom, Lord. Not just a little bit, but you will give generously, Lord, all that we need. And so, Father, we thank you for Proverbs chapter 8 and all that it has for us tonight, Father. And Father, we pray particularly into the things that we have heard this evening, Lord. You have promised, Lord, in this chapter that if we need clarity tonight, then that's what you give. Father, if we need help with right decisions, then we can cling to Christ and know his wisdom in our hearts, Lord. And if we're in a mess, Lord, and we're trying to untangle our life, then help us to look to Jesus. As Stuart says, life works better when we look to Jesus. So, Lord, I pray tonight, if we need unraveling a bit, then we would look to Christ, Father, because he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And as we do that, Lord, we pray that we would know that enduring peace, Father. That we would know that abundant life in our heart, Lord. So will you change our hearts? Will you change any perspectives in our minds, Lord, that needs changing right now? And will you draw us to yourself, Father? So we thank you, Lord, for your word this evening. And as we go back, Lord, this week to the busyness of our lives, I pray, Lord, that these words will just remain very firmly and sweetly, Lord, in our hearts, and that we would be greatly encouraged, Lord, and that we would say that we are blessed because we keep your ways, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Paul. I'm going to listen to one last song this evening. Not connected with what I've preached on, but just takes us to Jesus. So it is connected in a way, isn't it? But we played it a few times during lockdown when we were on Zoom. And I think we played it once in here. It's Peter's favourite song. I'm not playing it for Peter. Well, I know he'll enjoy it. Jehovah Chikenye. It's a wonderful song. And it's just glorious about Jesus. Let's worship him as we watch this.
I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture.
Grace of the Lord Jesus, the friendship and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God, your Father, be with you this week and always. Amen. God bless you.